So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 12, Verse Number 54.
Yasha Shriyam Meva Parishrama Paro. Yasha Shriyam Meva Parishrama Paro. Varnashrama chara tapa shudadisu. Varnashrama chara tapa shudadisu. Avismriti Sridhara pada padmayo. Avismriti Sridhara pada padmayo. Gunanuvada Shravanadara Adibihi. Gunanuvada Shravanadara Adibihi.
We'll see the word to word translation. Yesaha. In fame. Shriyam. And opulence. Eva. Only. Parishramaha, the labor. Para, great. Varna ashrama chara, by one's execution of duties in the varnashrama system. Tapaha, austerities. Shruta, hearing of sacred scriptures. Adisu, and so on. Avismriti, remembrance. Shri. Sridhara, of the maintainer of the goddess of fortune. Pada Padmaya, of the lotus feet. Guna Anuvada, of the chanting of the qualities. Shravana, by hearing. Adara, respecting. Adibihi, and so on. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The great endeavor one undergoes in executing the ordinary social and religious duties of the Varnashrama system, in performing austerities and in hearing from the Vedas, culminates only in the achievement of mundane fame and opulence. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, the Goddess, the husband of the goddess of fortune, one can remember his lotus feet. Okay, let us repeat the translation. The great endeavor one undergoes in executing the ordinary social and religious duties of the Varnashrama system, in performing austerities and in hearing from the Vedas, culminates only in the achievement of mundane fame and opulence. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, one can remember his lotus feet.
Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruvena Shri Chaitanya Manodisam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadatiswa Padantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama.
So in this chapter, Sutta Goswami is talking to the great sages at Naimisharanya about Srimad Bhagavatam, topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, later on, the conclusion of this chapter is that one should chant Krishna's name and hear his
transcendental glories which can free oneself from all contaminations and sin. By constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one's heart is cleansed, free from material contamination, and one will be fixed in the devotional service to the Lord. So that is the moral that's being emphasized in this chapter, which goes by the heading as Srimad Bhagavatam, the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam summarized. Today, you know, the topic for discussion consists of three parts. Okay. First, I'm going to bring a verse from Bhagavad Gita, very appropriate, and it's got a lot of meaning in itself, you know. One sloka, we are going to discuss very quickly, and then, considering today is a very auspicious day, it's the disappearance of Sanatana Goswami, we are going to very elaborately talk on the life sketch of Sanatana Goswami, and then a story that is told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself to Sanatana Goswami about the astrologer and the poor man. Do anyone know that story? So that will be good then. If someone knows, then it may not be quite interesting, but yet Krishna Kanta is always interesting. So we discuss these three parts. Okay, the first, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam verse which I would like to mention is from 7.7. Anyone knows what this sloka is? I suppose Gopa Vrindesh Prabhu should be. Okay. This is Mattara Parataram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Tenenjaya Mai Sarvam Idam Proktam Sutre Manigana Yuva. Krishna is saying, O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no superior truth other than me. Okay? Everything rests upon me like the pearls are strung on the strung on the thread. You know? See, very deeper meaning there, you know. See, when the pearls, you know, when we see the necklace, right? Everyone can see that, right? The pearls are strung, you know, and you cannot see the string. Can you see the string? No. But it is strung, it is inside, you know, everything is resting. So Krishna is saying, everything else, everything, not everything and everything else also, rests upon me just like the pearls which are strung on a thread. You know. So understanding the fact that, you know, that Krishna is the source of everything, you know, as he again explains, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. So he's a source of all material and spiritual creations. We proceed with the topic, you know. To confirm this verse in Bhagavad Gita, in Svetasvatara Upanishad, there are 108 Upanishads, right? This is one of the Upanishads. It is said that, this Upanishad says, there is a transcendental person who does not have a material form and material qualities. Okay? Now, this transcendental person, one who knows him, will be free from the cycle of birth and death. But one who does not know him will have the miseries of the material world. Okay? There is no way of liberation other than to know the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Very clearly it is stated. Okay? Right. So today, again, you know, moving on further, we will talk about the story, you know, very nice story. This is personally told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Okay? It's basically an allegorical story where Mahaprabhu is bringing in. And we will talk about it. This comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela chapter 20, 127 to 136 reference, if anyone wants to go through that. Now what happens, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is narrating the story. Once an astrologer, he came to a house of a poor man. Right? Now this man was very poor, poverty stricken, you know. He was all, you know, no food to eat, all, you know, wearing all the members of the family, they are wearing all torn clothes, everything, you know, absolutely in poverty stricken condition. Now this astrologer came and he was interested to see the horoscope of this guy, of this poor man. So having looked at the horoscope, the astrologer said, "Now tell me, why are you so unhappy? Why are you so poor? Despite the fact that your father is a very rich person." Prabhu, someone can reduce the volume a little bit? Just a bit. Okay? So he was saying, why are you so unhappy? Because your father has been very rich. He says, I can see from the horoscope that your father has not disclosed the hidden treasure which he has left for you, because he died in a foreign country. And obviously you did not come to know about the treasure. Right? Now, I will try to help you out to find out the treasure and you will be happy. Right? That will solve all the problems. Okay? Now this poor man was quite happy. He said, fine. Alright? Let us try to find out where the treasure is, you know. Now, this example is given, cited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bring in a deeper meaning. What he is bringing out is, we as a conditioned soul, right, out of ignorance, we have forgotten our Supreme Father, Krishna, right, who is very wealthy. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, the Vedic scripture is compared to an astrologer, and the poor man is us, basically, and the treasure is the love of Godhead. So this is a story which is going to be elaborated, you know. And also, it is requested that, or it can be noted that, this astrologer's instructions is applicable to all of us. It's not only to the poor man, okay. Let us see what the astrologer is going to talk about it. Very interesting scenario. Now what, astrologer, what he said was, okay, come on, let me try to find out where the hidden treasure is, right? So he's going through the horoscope and he says, come on, the treasure is hidden somewhere close to your house, okay? Not very far, but we have to find out where it is, okay? But we should not be very, you know, hasty in picking up the treasure. You have to go step by step, okay? So he analyzed the horoscope, and he went into the southern side. Okay, now he said, do not dig on the southern side of your house, because the southern side contains lot of poisonous wasps and drones, they call it, drones. Okay, now do you know anyone know what is wasp? Wasp is a family of bees. Okay, but bee will sting you only once. And it will go. It will say, fine, I had enough of this guy. But wasp will not. It will keep on going on and on. Okay, till you cry or whatever. That is a property of the characteristics of the wasp. Okay? It will not leave you. Right? Huh? Yeah, something like that. And then this wasp... Maybe. All these are on families, you know. Now this wasp is a female category, and they've also got a men, you know, that is known as drones, okay. Now what these two do is, this is very interesting, you know, we should also know. These two, you know, they will make the others work for them. They will not involve in, you know. So they will collect, any job has to be done, they will delegate it to their groups. And that is how they survive, you know. Even in insect species, imagine. So, why not, you know? We are, no wonder that we are dominating, you know, that comes from, you know, as a spirit soul. He's saying, do not go to the southern side and take the treasure, because the poisonous wasp will kill you, okay? It will sting you also. So be careful, you know. Here, what it is said is, the southern side is compared to karmakanda session, a ritualistic property. Because what happens when a person performs ritualistic sacrifices for getting more material benefits, he wants more and more. He is never satisfied. Now that will lead him to suffer and ultimately death, okay? So slow poisoning. So that is what it is said, that the southern side, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is referring to the karmakanda rituals. Then he is saying, okay, southern side is finished. Then he is going to the western side. He is saying, do not attempt to even dig on the western side. Why? Because in western side, there is an evil ghost by name Yaksha. And that is supervising that.
So what will happen if you want a treasure and if you go to the ghost, what will happen? The ghost will basically harm you and kill you, you know. So there is no chance of you. And the ghost is guarding the treasure. So you should not go to the western side and take it, you know. And this western side is compared to that of Jnanakanda, mental speculation. Because, you know, ghosts, you know, they keep on doing that. So it is compared as a mental speculation where people keep on, if they don't have any absolute knowledge about the scriptures, they keep on concocting. Okay, so that is compared to as the western side. Then, proceeding towards the northern side, he said, northern side is equally dangerous. Because he's saying, there is a big snake there, black snake waiting for you to swallow. The moment you go, you will be finished. Okay, so do not attempt to go on the northern side. Here, the northern side represents impersonal realization. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quite against that, so he is putting a more emphasis on that, you know. Here, the aspect is known as Mayavadi type, you know, Mayavadi philosophy, where they say the Supreme Lord does not have a form. Okay? Anyone can become a God by merging into the existence of Brahman. That is the philosophy they are coming out with. So here, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely says, if you go into the effulgence of the law, you will be absorbed like a, or you will be swallowed like a snake, you know. Because sometimes we see, even smaller snakes are eaten by the bigger snakes, isn't it? So this is like that impersonal philosophy. So that is why he is saying the snake is guarding. There is a lot of meaning inside that. And finally the astrologer says, I am leading you to the success. The success is, if you just go to the eastern side of your house and dig very little of the mud, you will touch the treasure. So the eastern side represents the treasure, which is a love of Godhead, exactly, and that represents Bhakti Yoga. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely has brought out this, indicating that we all have got hidden treasure in our heart, okay, which is a love of Godhead. It is their treasure, but it is covered by the material contamination, like a dirt. So what we have to do to remove the dirt? That is what Mahaprabhu said. So just by chanting, what happens? The material contamination is slowly removed and then we can feel the treasure, because we have the privilege to have the Supreme Lord Krishna and his property, isn't it? So that is a treasure. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely bringing out this one. Okay, moving further on, we are going to talk about the life sketch of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Now today is disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami, Guru Purnima. Disappearance, not appearance. So Sanatana Goswami is the former name was known as Amar. Some scriptures say it's Amar, some people, it's not very clear. But anyway, we proceed with the understanding that it's the previous name, you know, before initiation was Amar. Now they had three brothers. Amar later became Sanatana Goswami. And Santosha later became Rupa Goswami, and then Vallabha became Anupama. Okay, three brothers are there. They are transcendental brothers, and even from their young age, they were showing Bhava Bhakti. What they do is, they used to play in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, even when they are young. Okay, and they used to name the place where they take bath as Radha Kun, Shama Kun, and all that. And their father was known as Kumara Deva. Confusing. Kumara Deva. He had lot of children. Lot of, you know. In fact, you know, they had lot of brothers. But these three had become very prominent, you know, because they are great devotees of the Lord. So the other sons have not been properly mentioned in the scriptures. These brothers, they were educated by Vidya Bhushana Pada. Okay, Vidya Bhushan actually. And they also had another guru to teach the philosophy or logic. And that is a brother of Sarvabhama Bhattacharya. And his name is Vidya Vasaspati. Vidya Vasaspati. Now in the same context, we can see that, you know, previous acharyas or gurus, they had lot of previous acharyas, they had lot of gurus also,
for the spiritual studies. We see that in the case of Ramanujacharya, he had as many as 10 gurus, or even more than 10 gurus. He had one for spiritual, one for logic, one for nyaya, niyamana, all the so many things, they used to have a guru, So the same thing, they had a couple of gurus, and the mention is made about these two gurus. Okay. In Sanatana's youth time, once Sanatana Goswami had a dream. In the dream, he saw a young, beautiful Brahmin boy coming and giving him a book of Srimad Bhagavatam. A book of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now immediately, he recognized, and he opened his eyes, and to find out that it was a dream, he was quite upset, he was morose. So in a morose state, he was trying to do his morning routine jobs, and then he had his prayer, he was praying. During the time, Krishna personally became the Brahmin boy, and personally handed him over a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and said, Sanatana, please, read from this, and you will benefit, and you will attain full perfection. Right? The Lord. Now, we have got copies of Srimad Bhagavatam, here, which is for our source. And henceforth, what happened? Sanatana Goswami, he took the Srimad Bhagavatam as his life and soul, and he glorified it. So in the same way, we can use a Srimad Bhagavatam and refer it, and, get glorification from that. Sanatana Goswami's grandfather, Mukunta, he was working for a Muslim ruler. His name was Nawab Hussain Shah. Now at that time, it was quite prominent that most of the Indian personalities were working for the Muslim rulers, mention has been made there. Now Sanatana Goswami's grandfather also, Mukunta, was working for a Muslim leader, as his name was Nawab Hussain Shah. He was ruling the Gowda Desa area, and the capital is Ramkeli. Gowda Desa is partly known as, it's in the Bengal area, and this Gowda Desa at that time was representing the northern part of Bengal. Now very interesting, Gowda Desa has also got another important landmark, or a mention is made in the scripture. Anyone knows that? No. This was mentioned in Padma Purana by Lord Shiva while he was talking to Parvati. He was glorifying the 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita Mahatmaya. At that time, Lord Shiva is mentioning about Gowda Desa. Where mention has been made about a famous king by name Narasingha. We are not going into the story. If there is a time, we'll discuss about it. But the story is talking about Narasingha, how he had a general, and the general wanted to kill him, but he could not give because he got cholera and he died. And the next birth, he became a horse. And then he... So we have to believe the scriptures. When someone says, human being, cannot degrade, this is a fact that human being has degraded because he was very envious to kill Narasingha. So he became a horse, but he became a very white, beautiful horse, and everyone envied him. Everyone wanted to go ride on him. Really, very famous. He can go very fast, horse, as a horse, fastest than any horse. And so it was come to the king, and the king took it. And once when he went to some hunting or something, he had a Brahmin chanting the 15th chapter, some few verses. The moment the horse heard that, it became liberated, it got a transcendental body and went back to Vaikuntha. So that's the story mentioned there. So Lord Shiva is talking to Parvati about the Gita Mahatmya. Even if you hear little one word, one sloka from the 15th chapter, then liberation is guaranteed, Lord Shiva is saying. So, coming back to our story, at the time what happened, Mukunta died, and so Sanatana Goswami succeeded in taking the position of chief minister to the Nawab. So Sanatana Goswami became chief minister, Rupa Goswami became the revenue minister. They were placed in the government of Nawab Hussain Shah.
Now obviously, you know, you get entitlement from the, for a government servant, right? Lot of perks you get. So the ruler, the government king, the Muslim king, he gave lot of wealth and property to the Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Now what they did was, they built lot of mansions and palaces, and they used clearly in the service of the Lord. Used to. And they used to have the house something like Vrindavan, you know, basically, you know, all the time chanting, discussing pastimes about Krishna. And they used to bring Pandits and Brahmins, and all the time they were glorifying the Lord. That was activity. So even though they were working for a Muslim leader, yet they were not in one way connected to that, because they were trying to sometimes aloof from the Muslim leader, the government services, and they used to chant the various pastimes of the Lord, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam also. Okay, now, as I was mentioning, these three brothers were in Ramkeli, okay, doing the pastimes and performing their sadhanas. At the time, they heard about Nimai Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before initiation. Now, they were very much fixed, you know, as you know, they are eternal servants of the Lord. So, their mind was very much fixed, you know, on hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, immediately they had a desire to see the Lord and to do service to Him. So, they were very anxiously waiting for a moment. So, they wanted really to go, okay, to and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, they got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, okay. Yes, you know, from Nimai Pandit, he has become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sannyas, and he is going to, where is he going? Jagannath Puri. He is going to Jagannath Puri. So, what these brothers thought is, fine, we had a desire to see the Lord, first of all, we cannot associate really with the Lord, because the Lord has taken sannyas, and the Lord is proceeding towards Puri. So we don't know when the Lord is going to come back. So these brothers, you know, they were so much, you know, disappointed, and they were very much upset, and they were meditating again on the Lord. At that time, in fact, you know, they wanted to go to Puri, you know, they're making all the endeavors, because they were government servants, they have to make some arrangement. At that time, a celestial voice appeared, and they said, Sanatana Rupa, do not worry. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come to Ramkeli and meet you personally. So just do your endeavor and wait. The Lord will be coming, you know. So many times we see, you know, how, you know, things are being arranged for them. So they waited patiently. So 5 years passed by, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, was actually a sannyasi, he was living in Puri. So he decided, okay, I want to see my mother, Sachi Mate, and also Ganges. So let me proceed towards Bengal. So 5 years have passed in the meantime. So Mahaprabhu was coming. On his way, he went to see Advaita Acharya at Shantipur. Yeah. So on the Shanti, because Advaita Acharya was instrumental in bringing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know. So he wants to see him. And then he came to Ramkeli. Now hearing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Ramkeli, all the three brothers, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa and Anupama, they came to see him. See, look at the humility of these three brothers, okay? When they knew that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to Ramkeli, the humility is explained again in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They kept a straw in the mouth, and with great humility, they offered obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They said, people call me as scholars, but we are fools. We are sinners. We don't know anything about scriptures. Right? We are serving the Muslim people who are eating meat. Hence, we are also classified as meat eaters. Because we are serving, we are taking the money. Okay? First point. Then they are saying, by doing that, we have become enemy to cows and brahmanas. Because we are, you know, following them. So in that way, we are the most wretched people. Please show some mercy on us. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that, you know. He smiled and he blessed them and he said, do not worry, you are all my eternal associates. So you carry on with your duties. So in that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left to Puri again. And these brothers, they returned back to the job at Ramkeli.
Now, ever since they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they could not, having met the Lord and the pastimes, you know, with them, they could not, do any other job. You know, they are attracted towards the lotus feet of the Lord. So they could not concentrate on the job. So they were feeling a very intimate separation from the Supreme Lord. So what they decided, all the three brothers said, fine, we will not be here, we will try to go along with Chaitanya Prabhu and do some service to him. So at that time, Rupa and Anupama, they could not at all. They said, we are going, and so with the, whatever the possession they had, they moved to, they took a boat, and then they proceeded towards Prayag, actually, there they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, in a boat. Now, Sanatana Goswami stayed back because he was the chief minister, you know. All the three of them could not go because they were holding very prominent position in the Nawab Hussain Sahab's ministry. So all of them could not go. So Sanatana Goswami said, I will stay back, you guys can go. You know? So these two people, you know, went in a boat and they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag. Now, in the meantime, Sanatana Goswami was left alone in the ministry, you know, as, I mean, like anyone else, you know, even he saw the Lord, and he was also attracted towards the Lord. So he was also discussing Srimad Bhagavan and all that. So sometimes what he does, he used to apply sick leave. He used to say that he is sick, and pretend that he is sick, and he'll come home, and he'll discuss Srimad Bhagavan with the other group of Brahminas and Pandits, you know, constantly discussing. Now, the Muslim ruler, he knew that something is wrong. So he sent his personal physician to check whether Sanatana Goswami is sick or not. He examined Sanatana Goswami's body. He said, he's perfectly healthy. Absolutely no problem, you know. You know, you just go and find out, you know. So what happened once Hussain Shah, the Muslim king, he on his surprise visit, he came to Sanatana Goswami and saw him with all the group of Brahminas like this, you know, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. He was surprised. What's going on? I'm waiting for you for my, you know, for all the official things there. And you're happily discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. What is going on? Come on, tell me what's happening. I want to know, you know. Why, what happened to the other two brothers, you know, because they were missing for some time. He said they did not want to work. Because they are not interested, you know. If someone is not interested, you cannot force them. So that is why they left, you know. And he is saying, I am also not interested, but still I'll try to do something for you. Then the king, he was quite upset. What do you mean by that? So he got so upset that he put him in jail. Sanatana Goswami was in jail now. Okay. Now this Muslim ruler, he went to Orissa to attack. Because they kept on attacking, you know, each of them slowly, one by one. So they go attack, build the power, and go to the neighboring attack like that, you know. They kept on increasing the power, you know. Like how we increase our bank balances, you know. Like that, slowly, little by little. Okay, now Sanatana Goswami thought, this is the time, okay, the Navam is not there. Now I should flee from here, otherwise I will be caught, okay. So what he did was, he, very diplomatic, Sanatana Goswami obviously, you know, is very intelligent. Very diplomatically he spoke to the jail superintendent and he bribed him. He said, come on, take the money. Do you know how much Sanatana Goswami bribed the jailer for getting, being released from the jail? Any guess? It is thousands of gold coins. He gave 7,000 gold coins. Come on, take it. I don't want, you know. Just like giving, you know, like 7 million or something. You know? Just take this and give it. And he took some money, you know, for the emergency also. Along with him, he also took his personal assistant by name Isana. His personal assistant. Now his personal assistant had a few gold coins. Okay. Now on the way, they had to stay overnight in a hotel. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like it, but he said, fine. You know what to do because it's a jungle area. This was part of the area was they're walking through Madhya Pradesh. At the time, most of the area was uninhabited. Okay, it's a jungle area, hilly track, you know, forest area and all that. So they wanted to stay in a hotel. And somehow, the hotel keeper, the hotel manager, came to know that these people are carrying money. So he was attempting to kill them. Okay? Now, Sanatana Goswami knew this and very diplomatically approached the hotel owner and he said, okay, we have come here to as a pass-by only. You know, we don't have any business. We have got some money. It is of no use. If you want, you can take it. He said, yes, and I give all the money to him. So he gave all the money to him. In that way, the hotel owner said, okay, fine. I wanted to kill them, but I did not have to because I voluntarily gave the money. But instead Sanatana Goswami requested him, begged him, you know, please help me out to cross over the jungle because I want to go to the other side. Because he wants to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is on the other side at Banaras. So the hotel owner, he was very much moved, you know, and he said, I will do that because he was a leader of a dacoit at the time. So he said, fine, you know, I've got lot of hands, you know, I can do that. And so he helped them out to cross the Sanatana. At the time, Sanatana Goswami even left his personal assistant because he was very anxious to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he left his personal assistant, Isana, there, you know, and he left on his own, you know, because he was very anxious, so he did not bother. I don't want anything. So he went there and he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Banaras in the house of Chandrasekhara. Now, at the house of Chandrasekhara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took up a renounced order, you know. He shaved his head. He was wearing torn cloth. He was carrying the jug pot. And he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered his obeisances. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much moved by the humility and the service attitude of Sanatana Goswami, you know. And because of his high humility and the service attitude, which is basically a Vaishnava attitude, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started bestowing his mercy and discussing more about devotion service. And the two were discussing about devotion activity. Okay. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also told Sanatana Goswami to write books on Krishna Bhakti and to join his brothers, both his brothers Rupa and Sanatana, and to find out, evacuate all the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Because at that time the Muslims are completely, you know, taken away all the properties and it's completely covered. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted these two brothers to uncover all the pastimes of the Lord. He also wanted them to write a lot of books, you know. So what they did, these two brothers, they kept on traveling, you know, throughout Vrindavan. They did not even stay overnight in a place. They were staying on the top of a tree. These Goswamis, okay? They were staying on the top of the tree. They were moving even every day from the tree because they thought that if we stay more than one day in a tree, we will get attached to the tree. So that was a renounced mood of these Vaishnavas, which is worth mentioning and talking about it, you know. And in spite of that, Sanatana Goswami also had a deity. He used to have the deity in the top of the tree, you know. We'll come back to that in a minute. So they used to go around and they never wanted anything on their own, you know. If the food comes on their own, they eat it. But sometimes, very rarely, they begged, you know. If they don't get their food, fine, they were very happy, you know. They were very slim, as you see from the photos, right, you know. You cannot see a fat Goswami there. Everyone is so thin, you know. Whatever food they got, you know, they were having it. In that way, they spent their lifetime, you know, like that. In summary, you can say that the Goswamis, you know, they did four main tasks for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, what are the tasks they did? One is to uncover the sites of Krishna's pastime. Right? Second,